You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith
and Kylie Jo Smith. And today's episode is called
Love Is. And that blank was on purpose.
Okay.
But before we get there, we want to say happy Father's Day.
Yes. Yes. We honor fathers. We honor the men who have given and sacrificed, and a lot of times without getting any recognition.
And sometimes not even their own kids stepping in and being a father to the fatherless.
Yes. So we're actually going to say hi to our dads.
All right.
We love them.
Hey, dads. Is that how you want us to do it? How are we doing this?
Go ahead. You can say your dad's name.
Is that weird? My dad, John Ronald Gallinger.
Hey.
What's up, Pop?
Yes. And for those of you who don't know, I actually have two dads.
So she gets double Father's Day.
I get double Father's Day. So I want to say a shout out to Herbert and to Bernie. Those are my dads. I love you both. You're awesome. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark whose worth's unknown although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error, and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved.
Did you write that? Is that you?
Sadly, no, I did not write that one. That is Mr. Shakespeare himself. It was from
Billy Shakes.
Billy.
What's that?
Yeah, Bill. Sonnet 116 is what that is.
That's good stuff.
Yes.
So in today's episode, we are talking about the concept of defining love. Like, how do we define love? And I think that hits pretty much everything we're bound to cover, which is faith, race, life, and culture.
Yeah.
That covers all of that because love is universal. There are things that transcend culture, that transcend time and space, and that love is one of those things.
Yeah.
And this came up. Honestly, as we were parenting, we were talking about love and our kids showing love to each other. And there's nothing that brings more conviction in my heart and more understanding about how I'm supposed to love my fellow man or woman than watching my kids interact.
Yeah.
Because I see them interact and I see all the trifling just stuff that they argue about that doesn't even have consequence.
Yeah.
They get into fights over silly stuff. And the whole time the cry of my heart is like, just stop and love each other.
Right.
Like, why are you bickering? Why are you dealing with each other as though you don't know each other? You don't like each other, or like, I know you love each other.
Yeah.
So act like it.
Right.
Act like you love each other. Stop fighting, stop battling, stop striving.
Yeah. Well, and even how we relate to our kids.
Yeah.
Looking at the things that we as parents have to do that don't always feel loving.
Yeah.
From their perspective, from their 5-year-old and 2.5-year-old selves.
Right.
The things that we're responsible for that we say, well, we love you. That's why we're doing this. But to them, it's like, well, no, if you love me, you should just let me do this my own way. Like, I got this. As Isaiah says, I got this, mommy.
Yeah, don't worry, mommy. I got this.
Yeah.
The idea of having those tough moments, but those tough moments coming around truly out of love. So an example, we had to have the conversation with our son about being on media too much because I don't know how you guys do your family out there in podcast world, but we try to limit the amount of media our kids get because we've noticed a difference in their behavior.
Right.
We're not going off any studies or any of that, anyone else's opinions. We've actually seen the change in our son and daughter's behavior when they in real life, no myth, when they've been on media versus when they haven't. And so we went through a season of kind of sitting them down in front of media for long periods of time because of work or counseling or whatever was going on. And we had to sit down and say, hey, son, look, we need to repent because what we've been doing, has not been benefiting you. I know you enjoyed it. It's been fun. You've really liked having all this media time. But if we're going to do what's best, if we're going to show our love for you, we actually have to take that away.
Yeah.
And we've got to limit the amount of time you get to watch movies and play games on the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, we're not actually being loving because yeah. we see that it's damaging.
Yeah. And that's hard because to a small mind, a child who has not experienced a lot outside of his family and outside of his small circle, that brings satisfaction, that feeling of, and we all know when we're on media, it brings that instant gratification.
Right.
And so to have someone say, I'm going to have to take that away from you, but it's because I love you. It creates a disjunct in our brain of like, wait, you love me, but you're taking something away that makes me feel good.
Right.
And honestly, I mean, like we've said with parenting, there's so many connections to the relationship with our Heavenly Father. But when we've said that to Isaiah, whether it's with media or something else, like, hey, we can't let you do that because we love you and we're trying to help you to navigate this world.
Yeah.
It is exactly what God has said to us in our individual walk with Him. Like, hey, look, I love you. And that's mm-hmm. why I cannot let you remain in this.
That's right. And one of those things, like with dealing with our kids, and you just said it, like having to set those boundaries and having mm-hmm. to close doors sometimes, it goes into their relationship with each other.
Yeah.
Because we're setting the boundaries, but we don't need them to set certain, we need them to just kind of overlook the little stuff.
Yeah.
So here's a perfect example. Isaiah is the brother, the older brother.
Yes.
And
in every way.
And as little sisters do, Rebecca likes to annoy him. It is one of her favorite things to do. And the other day, I don't remember what she was saying, but she was saying something incorrectly. The word had a D in it, and she was saying F, just because Isaiah was trying to show her the letter D. And so she picked another letter. It was like F. And she kept saying it just to tease him. And he goes, Daddy, she is not saying the right letter. The letter is D. And I looked at him. I said, Zay, it's not that big a deal. Right. Like, get past it. She's saying the wrong letter. It's okay. It's not life or death. Like, it doesn't yeah. actually change anything about your relationship. Mm-hmm. She wants to look at the letter one way. You look at it another. Awesome. There's no error that leads to damage.
Right.
Like, it's not like she's marching into traffic and you're trying to stop her. Like, yeah. she's just saying a word differently than you.
Yeah. And what's crazy about that is that through hearing the correct word mm-hmm. or letter and through watching the big brother, mm-hmm. we've told him this, she will catch on to what is right if you show her.
Yeah.
And so even in that moment of like, okay, yes, she's wrong. Mm-hmm. And we can acknowledge that. But why don't you just show her what is right? Why don't yeah. you just do what you know is right and not worry about correcting every single little thing that she's doing wrong?
That's right. And so all of these examples, all of these moments of parenting bliss have brought us to this idea that love, the concept of love, is so varied from person to person.
Yeah.
It's so different because everyone's trying to define love themselves.
Mm.
And everyone is trying to get a grip and a grasp on what love actually is.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because depending on your culture, different things that you do, different actions can be viewed as loving versus mm-hmm. unloving.
Yeah.
Depending on your
age,
depending on your race, depending yeah. on your faith, there are different things that can be viewed as loving versus non-loving.
Yeah.
And in our culture right now, in American or Western culture, we're such a metropolis of different beliefs. We like to believe that we have the free market of ideals, right? That that everyone can have a place at the table. It doesn't yeah. matter what you believe, that we can all come to the table. But this starts to bump heads when we come up to this idea of love.
Yeah. And we've pushed it to this extreme. Where you talked about someone defining love for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we've not only said that you get to define what love is, but we have broadened it even more and made it almost ambiguous by saying, not only do you get to define it, but we're just going to say that the definition of love is love.
Yeah.
So now no longer are we even putting it on a fixed point where we can all kind yeah. of see where we fall in it and on the spectrum of it. But we're saying, no, you get to define it. And you know, we're just going to say it is what it is.
Yeah.
Which is actually self-destructing.
It's one of those things that by saying love is love, what we're doing is we're saying, we can't tell you what it is, but the second you step outside of that, we'll know what it's not.
Right. Which, I mean, even in that, I have a definition of what it is. Even when I say, I put the big banner over it and say, well, love is love.
Yeah.
But I do still have my own version of what I think it is. And if you step on my toes in that, or if you in some way infringe on my definition that's within the confine of my mind and experience, I will let you know.
Yeah. That that's not loving.
But at the same time, if I infringe on your definition of it, you have to let me know. Like,
that's right.
It just creates a really, really difficult dynamic in relationships.
Yeah. It's a strong, it's a challenging atmosphere. And one of the things I love about, we're part of the Church of the Nazarene, my district superintendent, Jim Bond, he says that most conflict happens because there's a lack of expectation being mismanagement of expectation.
Yes.
So we see this all the time with this love conversation, because when we leave it as ambiguous, when we leave it as open-ended as just love is, then we have this lack of understanding of what I expect from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see this conflict coming, because I'm expecting you to respond to being loving or being loved the same way that I would.
Yeah.
It's that kind of mirror reflex that we've talked about before.
Yes.
And it's very personal. The idea of being loved, you want to be valued. You want to be accepted. You want to be welcomed. You want to be seen. You want people to know that your experience matters.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that, we start wrapping up in this understanding of love. And then what it regresses to is not a true definition. It regresses to a feeling.
Yeah, which is, feelings are so fluid and can be influenced by so many things, external, internal. I mean, and even this idea, what you're talking about of defining love and wanting to be loved, wanting to be seen and validated. Some of that is rooted in the lack of love that we have felt in relationships where, you know, I wasn't loved as a child, or I wasn't loved in my marriage, or I wasn't loved by my children. And therefore, my view of what love should be is only based on a deficit that I have experienced in my own heart, and which is skewed.
Yeah.
And I think it traps us in thinking that we need to pursue love from other people in an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. It, I like what you said, that love can be influenced by internal, or feelings can be influenced by internal and external things.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, when I've had a bad meal,
oh,
you get a belly full of Taco Bell, you're not feeling very loving around anyone.
Bell.
I love Taco Bell. Just be honest. I love me some Taco Bell. But if I eat $30 worth of Taco Bell, like, let's just put that out there.
Okay.
That's within my bounds of capabilities. I could do that. I am not going to feel very loving, very kind, any of that. My feelings in that moment are going to be bloated and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what goes on around me. Like, my feelings start to dictate what I see as truth around me.
Yes.
And we have to understand that love is not a feeling. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we can't define things by our feelings.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is interesting is, if you think about this idea of love, where we go wrong, and this is my humble opinion, where we go wrong is that everyone uses this idea of love for their own selfish reasons, their own selfish gain.
How can I explain that?
All right. So, love tends to become a mechanism for what makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So in a moment where someone is doing something I don't like, it's loving for me to tell you off, because I'm going to tell you the hard truth. And that's loving, because you're going astray and you need to know exactly where you're going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But when I mess up, it's more loving for you to just coddle me and accept me and give me a hug and gently nurture me back the direction I need to go. Because if you say anything hard to me, that's not loving.
Okay.
And really what I'm saying is, there is no standard of loving. It's whatever I'm feeling at the moment.
Mm.
And I start to use love as a mechanism for whatever validates how I feel.
Yeah.
And so this image of love, it stops being an actual definable choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to be, well, however I feel in this moment is what's loving.
Or however I feel about this particular topic.
Yeah.
Because there are some things that someone could call me out, Mm-hmm. Just from my own personal experience, someone could call me out in an area of my life that, you know what? Yeah, that's hard to hear, but I accept that as love from you. Mm-hmm. But then there are other more sensitive areas where if someone, the same person were to come at me and give me the same level of accountability, how dare you? That is so, no way. You can't say that. But yeah, it's because of that particular sensitive subject that I have created that boundary,
yeah,
of you can't really love me in this way.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a really interesting, that's an interesting point, Pastor.
Well, thank you. I make those every now and again.
Every now and then.
This love being a feeling is, I know it's been beat like a dead horse. It's been beat over and over, but we've never gotten past it.
Yeah.
In our current culture and in this society, we have this solid understanding of such an ambiguous topic that what love is shouldn't ever confront how I feel.
Yeah.
And it's so destructive because what it does, just like with our kids, it causes conflict where there doesn't need to be conflict.
Right.
Where people start to bicker and argue and openly combat each other over things that really we could overlook.
Yes.
Really we could move beyond. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm truly being loving, then I need to be self-sacrificing and not self-serving.
Okay. So bringing up sacrifice.
Okay.
There is a dysfunctional type of love, or what we call love, where a person can think they're being sacrificing, but it's actually self-deprecating
codependent
or codependent and self-diminishing. So let's talk about sacrificing versus that. Like, what does sacrifice really look like as far as love goes?
I guess what I'd like to change it a little bit. Instead of talking about sacrifice, I like to talk about it in terms of humility.
Oh, okay.
Right? So being humble. And I love C.S. Lewis's definition of humility, which is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less.
Yeah.
This love, this idea of love is not, well, I'm so terrible. And so I've got to treat people as better than me or any of that. It's not this codependent. I really want people to like me, to validate who I am. Mm-hmm. Because then again, it all revolves around me. It's that selfish using love for selfish gain again, because I'm only treating you well because I want you to like me. Yeah. I'm only doing good towards you because I want you to like me.
Okay.
When really it needs to be, it's not about me. It's about how can I do what's best for you?
Yes.
That's a love situation.
Like if I'm truly going to love someone, I need to have the humility to set myself aside, to sacrifice my preferences, even my feelings.
Right. Goodness, our precious little feelings.
My feelings need to be sacrificed. Not just arbitrarily, not just sacrifice them like you're giving them up for nothing, but in order that the other person that I'm in relationship with would be bettered in their life, would know something better than what they're going through. And sometimes that looks different for different people.
Yeah. Sometimes setting boundaries looks like love. I love that if you haven't heard Kirk Franklin's new album, Long Live Love.
Get it.
He's got a song there called Just For Me.
First of all, pause what you're listening to right now. I know it's weird.
No, don't. No. Finish this afterwards.
Okay.
Go back and listen.
But you will need to listen to it.
That's right. She tried to throw me under the bus. Y'all hear that? Stop listening to this and go jam out.
It's that good.
It is, but I'm going to share the lyrics.
Okay.
So he has this song called Just For Me. And here's the first verse. Just for me. Many doors you've closed just for me. Sometimes you will say no, so I'll be tested in your fire to purify my desires, so my blessings won't be just for me. And then he goes on, he says, just for me. So caught up in myself, I couldn't see the world did not revolve around me.
Oh!
So storms are in your will, so I can feel what others feel, their needs, if I could speak honestly.
In the chorus, can I read the chorus?
Please do.
This is my favorite. It don't feel good. But growing never does.
Yeah.
It don't seem fair for you to call this love. But if necessary, pain is the ingredient for change. Even when life may be bittersweet, it's working.
Just for me.
Like I'm just telling you, when you hear that, we're saying it. It doesn't have the power when we're saying it.
Yeah.
When you hear it, this is love. And it doesn't feel like it. It really doesn't. The times where I know I have had things taken from me where literally God has removed people from my life by them either leaving this earth or them not being a part of my life for whatever reason, it does not feel good. In my heart, in my mind, in my body, I have a reaction. It's like, that does not feel good.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like love in those moments.
Right. But even when life may be bittersweet, it's working. That love is working something out mm-hmm. for my good.
Yeah.
In the long run and for His glory.
That's right. And so sometimes setting boundaries, sometimes saying no is love.
What?
Sometimes, I mean, again, if you're a parent at all, you understand this.
I hope you understand this.
You need to, if you don't.
You need to adopt the word no into your vocabulary in there, if you have children.
Because no, setting boundaries is the most loving things we can do for our kids. Telling them they can't have everything they want because they're kids. They don't know what they want. And so they know what they feel like they want. Right. I'll tell you, okay, so another example. Our kids, I love them. And, you know, they grew up way different than we did individually.
Yes.
But our kids are not the biggest sweet tooths. Like, they don't eat a lot of the same junk food that we ate as kids.
Yeah.
And so we'll give our kids things like a cupcake or a brownie or a cookie or something. And they'll look at it, ooh, I want that. I want that. Okay, there you go. They'll start eating it. Nah, I don't want it. And they'll just set it aside.
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't want? You better eat that cupcake. Boy, what's wrong with you?
But you said you wanted it.
You said you want. But that's how kids are. They say they want something, but they don't know what they want.
Oh, that's how people are.
That's what I meant.
That's how people are in general. We say, oh, you know what I really want, God? You know what I really want in my life? I want this. I want me a man who will do this. I want a woman who will. And then we get that in front of us.
I want this kind of job. I want this much money.
I want this house. And we get it in front of us. We take a few little bites.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you know what? This isn't exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put this back. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, God. Mm-hmm. And then when we don't get the things we say we want, it doesn't feel loving.
Right.
Right. Well, if God really loved me, why wouldn't He give me the things that I want? Because sometimes no is the best thing you need to hear.
Yes.
Sometimes God's saying, no. that's a no
firm
for me.
No. That'll be a negative.
That's, no, I don't think I will.
Or even with a little bit of a swap behind it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes a no-no. All right. Sometimes we need no-nos.
No-no.
I think more adults need a no-no.
Or uh-uh.
I don't know. Have you ever got a no-no? Do you remember it? No. So you get no.
I do.
And you reach that hand up there to still reach for the things they said no, and you get that
no-no. I have a firm memory of getting a no. Yeah. A no-no.
You got to get a no-no every now and
then. And I still, to this day, will not do that thing that I was no-no was said to me about.
You'll say, no, I'm not doing it. I think adults, we have to understand that sometimes our no-nos that God puts in place are for our good.
Because he loves us. And I love, there's a pastor we listen to. In a sermon, he said it many times in sermons, but he talks about how God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you too much to leave you where He found you.
That's right. That's good.
And so even that moment of like, okay, God, I thought you loved me, but you're not going to let me have this. Okay, well, if He lets you have that, you're going to be in the same spot you were in.
That's right.
When you first found Him.
Or
worse. So He loves you too much to leave you there.
He loves you too much to allow you to make something else your God.
What?
He loves you too much to allow you to make something else your God, whether that's money, whether that's sex, whether that's children, whatever mm-hmm. it is that He knows your heart is bent towards exalting.
Yeah.
Sometimes He will tell you no. I say this a lot. I mean, the Lord didn't give me a voice to sing and a athletic build because He knows I've got an arrogance problem.
Oh,
and He and also gave me stumbling with the speech. Because He knows that sometimes there are times where I get too full of myself or I can lean into myself a little too much. I can be too self-sufficient. And so there are times where I'm like, Lord, why couldn't I just have that, you know, that deep Scooby-Dooby-Doo? Like, let me get that voice, Lord. And He's like, nah, you don't need that, bro. Like, mm-hmm. my grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
He'll keep stuff from us sometimes so that we can lean on Him. And it's because of His love. Love is not a feeling. And no matter how you feel, His word is true. And it says that He loves us and He's with us.
Yeah. Well, and I think last week we talked about right feelings follow right action.
That's right.
And one of the things that I've encountered since we've been in ministry, really since we've just been following the Lord, is this idea of like doing hard stuff that we don't like to do, or dealing with people that are difficult.
Yeah.
People who do require extra grace of us, just a little bit extra time and energy. And sometimes love, loving that person is going through that difficulty of sitting through something with them, spending time with somebody. You may not agree with them. They have different political affiliation. They don't like the same sports team. They went to a different college. You know what? They're a different race than you.
Right.
They're a different religion than you.
What?
They don't worship the way that you do, or they don't even worship. But you know what? I want to show love to you.
Yeah.
I want you to know that I love you, and I love you in a way that says I'm willing to spend time with you.
Yeah.
Just to get to know you more, because that is the example of God. Like, I love you so much. I want to spend time with you. I want to come to you.
Yeah.
And be in your life.
Yeah.
Like, really doing this with you. And there are things you're going to have to do before you feel the feeling of love. There's stuff
There's action steps.
Yes. And that's in marriage. It is in parenting. Yes. And it is in every relationship we face.
Yeah. You've got to be willing to step out. You've got to be willing to give love when it's not reciprocated.
Oof.
You've got to be willing to love people who you know are going to respond poorly.
Yeah.
And again, with the parenting is just such an awesome illustration, because every time we chastise our children, it is not met with, you know what, mom and dad, I get it. I get why you're doing this. And I'm so thankful that you love me so much. No, it's met with temper tantrums.
Yep.
And sometimes I don't like you right now, and I'm angry. And, and you're like, I'm just trying to keep you from dying. Like, can you just roll with me on this?
Yeah.
But I have to be willing to sometimes step out, be vulnerable, do things I don't like to do, be around people I don't want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
I have to set myself aside. I have to show the self-sacrificing, Christ-focused, other-centered love to people.
Yes.
And so you got to do it, though. You can't, as a believer. So I read this on a friend of mine's Facebook page, and it's been spread a lot. But this is someone who's not a believer. And they said, you can't be a Christian and hate anyone. And here's the truth. You really can't.
That's right.
As a believer in Jesus Christ, our job is to love others.
You have one job.
That's it. You got one job, man. I had 13 jobs when I was your age. You got one job. No, you only have one job. It's to love others. And here, so there's all this stuff about what is love? How do you define love?
Mm-hmm.
Are you being loving? Whether you're a believer or not, 1 Corinthians 13, you've probably heard. Because
At a wedding.
I was just going to say, they throw it in at the weddings, like, and everyone's like, oh, it's so beautiful. But if you actually listen to what is being said in 1 Corinthians 13, it is the most difficult thing to do in your life.
Yeah.
And this is really what love is. And I love that whoever's smarter than me that went through the Bible and marked these little subtitles called this the way of love.
All right.
And so this is Paul talking in 1 Corinthians, and he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way.
Mm.
It is not irritable or resentful.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. It is not, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends.
Okay.
So like, when we talk about we should love others and we say like, man, I really wish people would be more loving towards me. What we're really saying is I want someone to be patient and kind and not to be arrogant and not seek their own way. But here's the thing. Are we doing that for others?
Right.
Are we acting it? Because that is a definition of love. That's how Jesus Christ treated each and every one of us on that cross.
Yeah.
That's how he comes into our lives and shows us acceptance. It's not by high-fiving us and cheering us along in our brokenness.
Like or even commiserating.
Right.
That's not always loving.
No.
Hearing complaint and just, oh, boo-hoo. That's not love.
No. No, love If you've never read 1 Corinthians 13 and you've never actually meditated on what love is, do it. Go read that today.
Even if you're not a believer. Because here's the thing. We believe that that does not return void. Meditating on that will do something in you. I don't know how you could read those words and not sense something in your spirit. I don't want to call it a feeling, but I don't know how you can hear that
and not
replay the many times that you've done something that you said was loving or you thought was being loving and didn't match up with that.
That's right.
Because all of those things are all encompassing and they are all good. And there are many ways that we all fall short of each one.
Yeah.
And so even if you're not a believer, put that on your mirror in the morning.
I want to wrap up with this thought. We can't give a lot of times things we don't have. And so if you struggle loving people, if you struggle showing this agape, selfless love towards others, I need you to really do an evaluation. Have you experienced that love found in Christ?
Wow.
Have you experienced a selfless love, a love that is not based on your self-worth, is not based on how worthy you are, how good you are, how good you can be? Because if you've never known that love, it's going to be very difficult for you to define and act out of a love you've never known.
Yeah.
And there's a poem by
George Herbert.
George Herbert. Yeah. Thank you. I spaced. Called Love 3. And this is a great example how none of us are worthy of love. But this is how love responds to us. This is Love 3 by George Herbert. It says, "Love bade me welcome, but my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, the ungrateful? Oh, my dear, I cannot look on thee. But love took my hand and smiling did reply. Who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, said love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat."
Well, we hope that this episode has helped to address some of the challenges we all face with this concept of love and loving others. If you have questions or comments, and I want to say, you know, Nick posed a question that if you have never experienced that love, when we read 1 Corinthians 13, if you've never experienced that, if you really don't know what it is to be loved, we want to hear from you and we want to pray for you. We want to engage with you. So if you have questions about that or you find yourself answering that of like, I don't know that love, and maybe that's why I can't really share it with others, please reach out to us on social media. You can send us a private message if you like. And we just want to engage with you and be here for you as much as we can. So
this has been the Nick Smith Podcast, and we hope you have gotten a dose of real life.
No myth. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.